This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
You know how when you go grocery shopping, you've got a list and you're looking for just the things on that list?
Sure, doesn't make much sense to look for things not on your list.
Sure, but you also go whizzing by dozens, hundreds of things on the shelves until your eye picks out just that one jar of peanut butter that you have on your list.
Hello, shoppers. We have a wild sale on peanut butter in aisle 6.
Right. That's just an efficient technique that helps me find what I'm looking for.
All right, but what happens when we apply that same technique to our walks in the woods?
I don't know, but I have a feeling I'm about to find out.
Yeah, I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society.
And I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon. This is Something Wild. Okay, so you're equating grocery shopping with nature walk?
Not exactly. So when you're looking for that one jar of peanut butter in the grocery store, you aren't seeing all the other jars and boxes on the shelves. You're subconsciously filtering out the items that don't have anything to do with the peanut butter, and that's called selective attention.
Sounds like a term from Psychology 101 to me.
You called it a technique earlier, and it's one that we've developed to help us pay attention to one or two sensory inputs while ignoring all the others.
And I'm guessing we don't use this method exclusively in the grocery store.
Nope, we use it everywhere, even in our discussions about the natural world.
How so?
Well, when we talk about the great outdoors, it's almost always in the context of the animals that live there.
Lions and tigers and bears, that sort of thing?
Right, but little mention is made of the other organisms.
You mean trees?
A recent study published in Conservation Biology examined the funds earmarked for conservation projects, and they found that just 4% of the funds were being used to conserve plant species.
Okay, I'll admit, that seems a little out of balance.
It is, because plants make up 57% of the endangered species in the U.S.
Hang on, though. So the 96% of funding that was used for animal conservation, surely some of that was used to preserve the habitat those animals need. So that 4% number, a little soft.
Well, could be. But it also highlights the problem that conservationists are more likely to get funds for projects having to do with animals.
Isn't that just a PR problem?
Actually, I think it demonstrates selective attention in action.
So you think we humans ignore plants?
Because people find plants boring.
Dave, you're the tree guy. How can you say that?
Don't get me wrong. People like and appreciate trees, but people don't see plants move around or vocalize, so they just sort of fade into the background.
Except during the foliage seasons.
Right, but plants also do communicate, and they do migrate.
This selective attention has origins that are probably tens of thousands of years old.
I think so. It probably dates back to our most primitive ancestors who would scan the area around them looking for things to eat, or things that would eat them. And harm rarely came from plants. It came from animals looking for a meal, so we're hardwired by evolution to notice movement.
Well, we're animals, and so we're more likely to identify with other animals, because plants don't have eyes. Well, potatoes have eyes.
Well, it all went wrong with Mr. Potato Head, because we're taught from a very young age that plants are not interesting, but stick some arms and feet on it and suddenly...
suddenly we can identify with them.
But plants have played a large part in maintaining the health of our species. Don't forget, we didn't just hunt, we gathered too. And many cultures are tuned into plants because that's where their survival comes from.
Well, for whatever reason, we live in a society today where there is a pervasive plant blindness.
Yeah, people see this big green wall of vegetation, not the hundreds of different species of plants that are out there.
Yeah, you've seen one red pine, you've seen them all.
But they're not clones of each other. They have genetic differences. That red pine is not like this red pine.
So you're saying people can't see the trees for the forest?
Something like that, I guess. I'm Dave Anderson.
It's not easy being green, you know.
And he's Chris Martin.
Maybe we just need to stop and smell the roses.
Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR. Okay, we'll try it. Take 1 out of 6. Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
You know how when you go grocery shopping...
Try it again.
Okay.
Opinion by Hydro Quebec.
Be honest with you, I don't know what hydropower is.
New England stands on the threshold of a decision whether or not to hook up to Canadian hydropower. But that power
comes with a lot of history.
If you dismantle Hydro-Québec, it would be like dismantling us.
Hydropower, the French-Canadian identity, and New England's carbon problem. Get the latest Outside In wherever you listen to podcasts.